herself will give you a sign. The virgin will be with child, will give birth to a son, and you will call him Emmanuel. Celebrity atheist Richard Dawkins was asked, at what level is the idea of God very satisfying? And he replied, wouldn't it be lovely to believe in an imaginary friend who listens to your thoughts, listens to your prayers, comforts you, consoles you, gives you life after death, can give you advice? Of course it's satisfying, if you believe it. But who wants to believe in a lie? Retired Episcopal Bishop John Shelby's mom took a similar tack in his book, Born of a Woman, rethinking the birth of Jesus. I do not believe, he wrote, that Mary was in any biological sense a virgin. I do not believe the Bible is inerrant or eternal. And with that, he starts chapter 1. Spong's arguments are heard loud and clear in this secular humanistic culture, and even whispered softly amongst Christians. Is the story of this birth of Jesus for real? Is Jesus the most excellent being in all of the world? We turn to the biblical record. Matthew, Mark, Luke. Spong agrees with most modern biblical scholars. Christianity hinges on the affirmation, Jesus Christ is Lord. On that we agree. Scholars point out that the Christian church was begun by Paul, the disciples, as they preached and established faith communities throughout the Roman world. Paul didn't include birth narrative in his writings. Scholars place that writing at about 85 AD. One narrative is asserted by a Jewish Christian author named Matthew and a Gentile, Dr. Luke. Matthew knew Jewish tradition, steeped in the Midrash, a way of telling stories in order to understand and proclaim faith. Matthew added a birth narrative in Mark's Gospel in order to make clear that there was no illegitimacy brought. Matthew asserted Jesus was not illegitimate. He was the legal son of Joseph, of the lineage of David, and the Spirit-induced son of Mary. Luke heard the story from Paul. According to Spong's realistic thought, the birth narrative of Jesus as recorded by Matthew was simply midrash, a legend, a tale told, using Old Testament prophecies and images to enhance what Spong would call nonsensical narrative of virgin birth. It violates everything we know about biology, genetics, reproduction. Everything we know. It would be a miracle. Right now, millions of people around the world sit anxiously awaiting those words that are going to cross the screen a long time ago in a galaxy far, far away. Story, transcending time and space, Star Wars, The Force Awakens. It's been 35 years, you know, since the first Star Wars film hit the screen. We all wait for that experience of the Force, that power defined by Jedi Master Obi-Wan Kenobi, an energy field created by all living things that surround us, penetrate us, binding all the galaxy together. Luke Skywalker told us, the Force is in my family. It was in my father. It is in me. It is in my sister. It is in you. The Force has a light side for good and a dark side for evil. The greatest evil, however, comes from within. Oh, reformed faith. I hear it right now. No, none are righteous. All have fallen short of the glory of God. Oh, George Lucas, thank you. Luke speaks about this awakening that occurs. Have you felt it? Commentator Bill Reed made a search. The greatest thing about this movie is that it will draw all people together to consider good and evil, the dark side and the light. The Force will ask them to choose. In one earlier film, you know, Luke discovered Darth Vader was his father. And all of his friends and everyone said they would destroy him. But instead of it responding with violence, Luke reacts with compassion and responds with love. There's has this awakening within him. Luke is ready to die to defeat evil. Wow, thanks, George. You see, the main idea of George Lucas borrowed from Joseph Campbell what's called a motto myth, a hero pattern. The hero enters the world. Fabulous forces are encountered, a victory is won, and that power helps his fellow man. Or in case you're watching TV, Supergirl, fellow woman. The story unites people. We all have to face light and darkness, good and evil. Of course, have you felt it? Gospel Luke recalls this scene from Isaiah. In dispute with Ahaz, the prophet gives a sign. A virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and he will be called Emmanuel, God with us, of the lineage of David, fulfilling all of the promises of God. And you remember Joseph? He's out there in that scene out there. You know, he doesn't get to say anything. He just stands. He's the one without the speaking part. Joseph, son of David. Oh, divine message came. Do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife. Followed by a promise. She will give birth to a son. You are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. Now, Joseph was a just man. He was going to think, first of all, maybe I better give her this private divorce, which was quite possible. He just needed two other guys to agree with him, get before the judge and say, I divorce you, I divorce you, I divorce you, and it's over. Early form of no fault. Joseph awakens his dream. He believes, he follows the dream, and for that we can call him a wise man, the other wise man. Abba Father, rearing his child that he'd named Jesus. He was loving and kind, affirming and life-giving, a source of strength and love and protection. You see, in these Gospels, we learn that paternity is never complete until a son follows his father's values, which ought to be merciful, forgiving, caring. Joseph, the other wise man in this birth or infancy narrative, trusted God. He believed. He walked with God. Let it be according to your word. The bishop's mom graduated from that story. He moved to eternal life. His latest vision is called Beyond Religion, Theism, Heaven, and Hell. The author, Jesus for the Non-Religious, a.k.a. Rob Bell. His mom is not alone. There's this group of 150 scholars called the Jesus Seminar. They haven't met recently, but when they did, they determined by ballot what was authentic and what was not authentic in the Bible. They read passages together, and they had beads. The red bead meant that Jesus probably said that. A gray bead meant Jesus probably didn't say that. And a black bead meant Jesus didn't say it. The beads were then counted, and they were averaged, and the results were published. It's a book. I didn't bring it, but the five Gospels and the Acts of Jesus. What Jesus really did. Now, in general, they viewed passages that showed Jesus as compassionate and loving as authentic. They rejected any verses that portrayed him as messianic or condemnatory. They rejected, of course, the miracles and the resurrection. You know, what you do is like Thomas Jefferson. You take the passages on it and cut them out and stick them on a piece of paper, and then you have your own Bible. I've read many of the same books that the bishop has read. I've not met as many of the scholars because I don't run into circles. But I did meet Dr. Raymond Brown, the acknowledged authority on birth narrative, who believed in the virgin birth. By the way, so do I. I believe Jesus is the Son of God and he is Lord. I do not believe that the story of Jesus' birth has preserved for these 2,000 years of tradition has caused sexual harassment, as Professors Jane Schauberg of the University of Detroit or the late Phyllis Tribble of Union Seminary asserted. What we have is sacred memory preserved in sacred text for this faith community, describing a God so loving this world that he sent his Son to be born, live, teach, heal, cure, die, rise, ascend, to sit at the right hand of God the Father Almighty, to intercede for you and for me. And what difference does that make? Just as the Spirit hovered over the earth at creation, over Jesus and in Mary, that same Spirit hovers us here and now. Jesus is born anew in our hearts, enabling us to confess Jesus Christ is Lord. Have you felt it? It's what makes Christmas Christmas. God cared. God loved. Therefore, we can care. We can love. Harvard University's David McConnell and Boston University's Carol France noted psychiatrists to serve. Caring is based in love for God. John Polkinghorne, eminent scientist, Queen's College, Cambridge, responded to Dawkins. At the heart of Christianity, there is this most exciting idea. The mysterious individual God acted to make God's character known in the clearest and most accessible way possible for us, by living the life of a human being in Jesus Christ. That's what Christmas is about. The Word was made flesh, the divine made known in human terms. My friends, believe the gospel. It is the truth. Affirm with the other wise man, I believe, I trust. I will go, I will do. I will walk in God's ways. I have felt the force, God's Spirit, loving, caring, forgiving, merciful. Oh Lord, let it be according to your word. Let it be so. For it's not a fantasy spirit. It's a true, living spirit force. And it's with you.